Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. And once again, I am Mo, joined by the, I don't know, what do we call you this week, Brett? The man with the golden voice, or
sure,
Kenny Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. That's what we'll go with.
Anything.
Mr.
Anything.
Brett.
Brett. It's not about
me. Nobody's tuning in for you, you know.
No.
Who are they tuning in for?
They are tuning in for a gentleman who truly puts us on cloud 10. He is Randy Rand, the bassist for Autograph.
All right, you guys, how you doing? I can tell you're doing all right.
Well, I mean, we've been listening to Autograph for so many years. I mean, you know, since the early 80s, and so it's fantastic to be able to talk to you. I mean, I know that you've got the new song that you just released, especially for charity. But I mean, it's so fantastic that you're back and that you're able to be playing and recording and have a really, really strong band again.
Oh, it's so much fun, man! It's like, because there was that wasteland for almost 20 some odd years for people like me. You know, it's almost 25 years. Is after that whole 80s thing left, no one wanted to do anything with us. No one wanted us to play in any of their bands. So it was like, yeah, it was nice when they started doing the 80s revival stuff. And I went, you know what? I'm jumping on board on this one.
Well, I mean, and who can blame you, right? But that's the thing, right? That's the fantastic thing that we've noticed. And I mean, hey, we're big fans of the music anyways, but it's so fantastic that you're able to come back and have this kind of fan base jump out and be able to be like, hey, yes, I like Autograph. I want to be a part of this ride.
No, yeah, it's been great. I mean, it's a kind of overwhelming sometimes. You've been away from it for so long, and then you come back and now we're seeing a bunch of 18-year-olds, we're seeing 16-year-olds singing our old songs and our new songs. And it's like, we're getting a younger base. That's kind of cool.
And that's the thing with the latest album, Get Off Your Ass, from 2017. You know, I mean, it was an album that was definitely a new band, but celebrated the old. And I think that was the key to what made it work. And I think that's probably why you're finding, you know, a younger audience is interested in that music as well.
I think so. It's like, for some reason, all the guys I pick to play with, they kind of have the same songwriting thought process. It's like kick-ass intros and great big choruses, and that's what the 80s were all about, too. So we kind of stay with that. We're a little heavier now because we still have no keyboards. And of course, Steve Lynch was a killer guitar player. He still is. I didn't mean was. And now we got Jimmy Bell, who is like insane too. And so it's like I've gotten to play with some of the best guitar players ever. So it's been a blast.
What was it like then to actually? Because I know that overall, like when you came back, obviously you didn't have Steve, but you had. But you know you were close. But then you know bringing in Jimmy and of course now having Simon Daniels and all that with the new members. Like, what was it like to kind of bring in the new members, and like how long did it take to kind of vet them? I guess.
It's instantaneous. I'm not even kidding. A little bit. Well, after Steve Lynch left with Jimmy, Jimmy Bell is his best friend. So it's like that was kind of like a no-brainer. And we wanted to do it really bad, so why would I look any further? I got Jimmy Bell. So that was really good. We gelled from day one with Simon and Mark, and it's like, I don't know, you know, all I could do is just, you know, pat myself on the back and go, hey, I got lucky again. That's all.
So then, now, Souls on Fire is the song, and that one is going out to benefit the Trinity Health of New England. What made you choose Souls on Fire?
Souls on Fire because it's kind of what you want to make it. You know what I mean? Because right now everything's kind of switching around. You know, villains are now okay, and the heroes are not okay. And that's what Souls on Fire is like. What the hell's going on here? And also just the fact that these nurses and stuff in New England they're spending 20 hours a day in masks. You know, so we felt sorry for them because Jimmy Bell's fiance is one of the heads of that Trinity. So, and she told us how crazy it was. So we said, well, let's just split the profits. Let's just do that. So that's that story.
No, and that's great. I mean, everything right now, we always need to, like, there's been so many great songs that have come out because of this. And I think, you know, what a fantastic element. I mean, there's been so much crap that's occurred because of this, but I mean, there's been so much good because of people chipping in and supporting and so many great pieces of music. And so it's always interesting to see what each band feels like they want to bring to the table.
Yeah, it's each band, especially when you put us in a cave for like 4 months, you're not letting us go out. We're going to be writing. If you're a writer and you've got nothing to do all day long, you start to feel kind of useless. And so you start writing. And so that's why all the good players, are writing really good songs. And there's been a lot of good songs coming out. You're absolutely right. It's cool.
Now, are you guys, when you do the writing, like who wrote Souls on Fire?
It was a collaborative, as usual, for the new autograph. Jimmy came up with a riff. Jimmy came up with about 10 riffs from four other songs, which is later on. And we all said, wow, that's really cool. And then Simon, which is a great lyricist, great singer, and a guy that knows how to pull a good chorus in, he came in, and then, of course, me and Mark did the rest of it and got a flow on. It was a really fun project.
So then when you're doing something like this, was Souls on Fire created prior to COVID or was that created? Yeah. And then
it was prior. And what we saw coming, not that, but just how everything was starting to turn bad. We could feel that in America.
Mm-hmm.
So that was before everything hit the fan. But, I looked at Simon and go, did someone tell you that this is going to happen? He goes, no, I just felt it. So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
So then are you writing lots of stuff right now? Like, and how is it that you're working with the band? Now, that being said, though, did you guys have a concert on the 20th?
Yeah, we did. We played in Colorado. Golden, Colorado.
Now, how did that go then? That seems crazy.
It went fucking great. It went freaking great, man, because we had like 700 people. And even though they had the social distancing, it was still 700 people that were having a good time. And it was awesome. It was a big outdoor bar. And everyone got loaded and everyone had a great time.
The band, people just are, I think right now, so cooped up, right? They're so damn anxious to get out there and just have some fun. You know, and the fact that you're able to provide that in a safe way is great.
It's I'm sure someone's going to come along and say, oh, someone got sick. Shut up.
Well, I'm interested in what it looked like from your perspective to see, A, the fans now, but just what it was like to see the social distancing in a concert format.
It was a lot of tables, 50 tables. And only 4 people could sit at each table, and it was 6 feet apart. But when we started playing it on the radio, like it kind of wrecked the whole social distancing thing. And all people just came up to the stage, and I said, okay. No one had masks on. I mean, it's Colorado, for God's sake. These people are stoned all day long. It was fun. It was really fun. And everyone thanked us because they said, we've been stuck in our houses forever. So it's so fun to come to a bar and get loaded and listen to a good rock band. I think it was like 6 bands that day. It started like 12 in the afternoon, and we went on at like 8:30 at night. So it was like an all-day festival thing. It's kind of fun, really fun.
Wow. Yeah, I wonder, do you think that there's going to be more? I mean, obviously there'll be more of that kind of thing, but like, was this kind of like a tester for you guys to see like what it would be like to kind of get back into the idea of playing live?
Well, to be honest with you, they didn't have to talk us into it. It's just like getting on a plane again, yay, except for the mask crap. But, driving to the gig and everyone was like happy to be there. It just, I don't know. It's like, we wanted to do it, whatever. We just wanted to do it. And it turned out really well.
How long was your set then? With that many bands, like what kind of songs were you throwing in? I mean, obviously Turn Up the Radio, I think might've made an appearance, but.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Well, actually it was like half of the old stuff and half of the new stuff from Get Off Your Ass. I think it was like 15 songs. I think we closed it, which it never looked that good for me for the encore. Yeah, it was fine. It's like an hour and a half set, something like that.
Oh, wow. So, that's really long then. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Especially for a bunch of old guys. I didn't get tired.
Well, you've been able to rest for months, so, alert you.
Yeah, no, exactly. Now we've got a month for our next gig. So I'll be okay by then.
Yeah.
Do you have an all-time favorite concert that you performed, an all-time favorite show?
Yes.
Yeah?
The night in Van Halen, it was like one of our last nights at the Madison Square Garden when we got signed backstage by RCA Records. And that gig was unbelievable. There was like 20,000 people. And it was crazy. One of my favorite gigs of all times. It's just like there's nothing wrong with that day. No way. Except for the drummer for Van Halen locked our drummer in a cage. We had to come and cut the locks off of it before we went on stage. That was one of the fun things, too. Of course, it was the last night on the tour. So the fun was on board. Let's put it that way. Let's mess with the opening night.
That's insane, man. You're in there with one of the iconic game changing bands. You're in the most famous arena in the world, and you get signed. Like I don't know how does it get better?
No, it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and I mean the president of RCA came backstage in his Armani suit and stuff, and he said, "Don't sign with anyone else. We give you $3 million and 3 record deals. So bye. So we'll work it out tomorrow." What? So going on stage was like kind of a happy time. It's like, oh my God, we did it. We got signed.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I mean, yeah, of course it must be. I mean, even being on stage must have been so light. I'll bet there was some celebrating going on after that.
Well, there's some celebrating going on every night. It was the 80s. And I just got off tour with Lita Ford during the whole European tour. Home European tour with Rainbow and Black Sabbath. So I was already done. I did 3 rehearsals with these guys. And we got in a Winnebago, drove all the way to Florida. Hollywood, Florida. Our very first gig ever in the whole world, we didn't even know what the name of the band was really, was in Hollywood, Florida, in front of 16,000 people. That was the very first gig ever.
Wow. I mean, yeah, it's amazing though. Sometimes you just have those moments where, and those bands where it just picks up and hits like, you know, pretty quickly, and you're able to play these huge venues. I mean, talk about a trial by fire.
Well, yeah, but like I said, I just got off the road with the 3-piece band, me, Randy Castile, and Lita Ford playing in front of Rainbow stands. That was trial by fire too in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I got kind of used to that. So when I stepped out there, I'd go, well, you know, I think I know these songs. I've had 3 rehearsals. Let's see what happens.
That'll do. Three rehearsals. That'll do.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. You know, it's pretty crazy to hear about. Well, how soon after you were signed then were you guys in the studio?
I think it was like 4 months later because we had a lot of material. We had like 20 songs that we had already been written because I used to play in a band called Wolfgang with Steve Plunkett. And it's like we were doing demos together ever since 1974. So we had a lot of stuff in the can. And I turned to radio was like one of the last songs that we could on because they said they needed 2 more. I said, they gave you 20. Yeah, I still need 2 more. Okay. So we did turn up the radio. They didn't like it, but we did. And we had to fight for it, and it worked.
You had to fight for both it being on the album and for its release?
Yeah, they didn't want to put the song on the album. Did not want to put it on it. They just said, no, that song's stupid. Like the minute the A&R guy said, that song's stupid, I went, no, that goes on the album.
Yeah, no doubt. Could you imagine? I mean, talk about a totally different career path without that song, I think.
No shit, dude. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Can I say that word?
Absolutely. Oh, you can say whatever hell you want.
All right, good.
Let it fly. In fact, we prefer.
You got it. You got it. I still. Yeah, I'm not like the most. Well, anyway, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
You know, do you remember the first time you heard it actually on the radio then? I'm sure you turned it up when you did, but do you remember where you were the first time you heard it kind of playing and you're like, wow, okay, our song is on the radio?
I absolutely do. We were in, like, I think a van or something heading to some small gig in Minnesota. And then, no, we were going to a radio station. I remember that. And we turned on the radio and it wasn't the station we were going to. And I thought that's the first time I heard it. And we looked at each other and went, all right. But it took 6 months for it to take off. So it was like, RCA said, see, we told you so. And then you put $200,000 into your video, the songs are taken off, and all of a sudden, bang, charting, 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 charting. You went, oh, we love this song. This is a really good song.
Yeah, I tell you, it was a personal, for me, it was a very important song because, you know, I mean, I heard the song and I was like, oh, that's a good song. But it was one day I was listening to it. I mean, they always used to do the, you know, the nightly, the countdown from songs and you know, and I was listening and I would listen pretty much every night, you know, the phone, based on the voters or the fans phoning in during the day, what they had requested the most, you know, and it came on at number 8. And I was like, wow. I literally did just turn up the radio. And I'm like, I don't know. It was an important moment for me because it was like, that was a moment that I really actually recognized. I mean, because the thing about the 80s was, you know, I mean, there's so many different genres, type of music, right? And that was the moment where that song where it made me go, oh, I see the power of rock and roll is right now. You know, it gave me that. So it was, for me, it was a, you know, in my life, it's one of those seminal songs that made a big impact on who I am.
Well, that's, you know, when I hear stuff like that, you just go, oh, my goodness. You know, because we do what we do. It's always hit and miss. And then when someone says that, you go, wow, okay, it's worth it. Because that's what we want to write songs that people come back to us and say that stuff to. You know what I mean? To us. And that meant a lot to me. Thank you.
Well, you know, and it's funny. I always thought that the line that was key to its success, the lyric, is the lyric, things are better with rock. I always thought, like, that's, if that hadn't been in there, I'm not sure it would have been as big as it was. Because that particular line to me made it, you know, something about it.
You love this, dude. Coca-Cola got pissed at us for that.
Oh.
I thought they were going to see. They actually threatened to sue us and said to take that line out. We said, no. we have no money anyway, so go ahead and sue us. we haven't got residuals yet. Go sue us.
That's crazy.
How to be young again.
Now, do you guys ever feel pressure to try to write another Turn Up the Radio, or is it just kind of like go with the flow?
No, we know what it was. It was that moment at that time, because the song took 45 minutes to write, and Steve Brunke came back right and put the lyrics on it. And it's like, it's that stupid magical thing you hear about bands. It's like, yeah, that song took 45 minutes. So it's like, you don't get to do that very often. Let's just put it that way. As a musician, and I've probably written 400 or 500 songs, it's like, it just doesn't happen. But when it does, it's like magical almost.
Mm-hmm. Do you have much contact with like Steve Plunkett or Steve Lynch right now?
Yeah. I talked to both of them. There's no hard feelings with anyone here. It's good.
Yeah, because I know that, especially with Steve Plunkett, like you wanted to make sure that he was okay when Autograph came back, and so I like hearing stories like that.
No, it's like the whole band left on good terms because we just said, you know, I'm sick of playing to clubs. After doing arenas, I'm sick of playing clubs with only 100 people in it. And I don't want to do this anymore. So, you know, that the quick demise, you know, it's like gold, platinum, platinum, gold, 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 nothing. It was like that quick. And that's why we said, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to have to fly everywhere for, you know, 20 people, 60 people, promoter looking at me nastily.
So, like it's your fault.
It's our fault, right? So anyway, it's that's why. And we asked Plunkett to come on board with us. You know, well, to be honest with you, we thought we were only going to do like MOR, the Monsters Rock Cruise, and a couple other gigs, and we'd be done. And that didn't happen. And Plunkett said, "No, I don't play live anymore." I mean, his career is huge.
Yeah.
So I mean, he does commercials and TV music is like. Why would I want to go on stage again? Screw that. So that was amicable. And we found, we asked if anyone knew if he's in good lead singers. And a couple people said, try this Simon Daniels guy. He's from Jailhouse. And they went, oh, I kind of like Jailhouse. And we're instant friends, and it's been fun ever since.
I know that is fantastic. I mean, you know, tell me about like playing on like the Monsters of Rock Cruise and those kind of things. Like, what are those shows like?
They're so fun because I know probably at least one person in every band that's on there because I grew up on all of them. So it's like really fun to see the guys in Y&T and from Queensland and from, you know, these are all people we've run across all of our lives. And it's just kind of fun to be, because now we're not in competition. It's just, now we can be friends and hang out. And I some Striper play a lot. It's just, when you go, God, I didn't even like Striper. Now I love them. We did a few shows on it. God, that guy can sing. It's really fun. The Queensrÿche guys are awesome. Let's go down the line of the old bands that are still there. Skid Row, unbelievable. The New One, another great band. It's like, I can go down the line forever.
Bye, Dallin.
I had to kiss the wife. I didn't have to. It was fun. Bye, baby. Love you.
Yeah, it must be crazy to like be out and playing with these bands that in some cases like you played with, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and now here you are back again. I mean, what is it like? Do you kind of recall the old moments?
You do, but at the same time there isn't the animosity because we're all competing for a spot, you know, and you got more and more and more and more. It's harder to keep your spot. But now we're like going, hey, this is kind of fun. We don't have to do that anymore. We don't have the record companies breathing down your neck. So it's like really friendly, really friendly.
Well, and now speaking of record companies, I mean, you're on EMP now, which is great. I mean, what Dave Ellefson has done is fantastic.
Yeah, Dave is unbelievably wonderful, and they've been really supportive. And they got a lot of acts now too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're not in country or pop, you don't have the big record companies anymore. But you do have EMP, which is a very—it's like a personal thing more instead of like being a conglomerate. So it's nice. You can actually call them and get them on the phone.
So, is there any songs in the Autograph catalog that you think people should pay attention to that doesn't get the attention you think it deserves?
From the old one and the new one?
Just in the entire catalog. Is there any songs that you're like, people should go back and listen to that again? That's a hell of a good song. It didn't get, for whatever reason, it didn't get the attention it deserved.
Yeah, we had a song called Changing Hands. If you go back and listen to it, it's just angelical. It's like I couldn't believe it never got any action whatsoever. And every time I hear it, I just feel weird. It's cool. It's almost like church. So that's one of the songs that I really, really, really always loved. And there's one other one that we still play. I wish I had a song listening to me. Anyway, there's a couple songs that I still love. And also, I wish we got a little more airplay on Get Off Your Ass, because that song rocks. But anyway, I love that song. Now Soul's on Fire. That's my new favorite, of course.
Makes sense.
My attention span's about 5 minutes anyway, so there you go. It's about my favorite one. It never went anywhere with Changing Hands, and there's a ballad. It's beautiful. It's just unbelievable. So sometime listen to it, you see what I mean.
I'm also interested, the video for Loud and Clear, now that's an amazing video. talk about being able to have amazing people in there. But yeah, I just remember watching that video and thinking like, wow, this is amazing. How does something like that even come together?
I played with Randy Castile a lot, and so I met Ozzy a lot through Randy. And he's just such a great guy. And I've known Dean since 1979. We just asked him, you guys want to come in and do a little cameo? And they said, yeah, let's go do that. And they actually showed up on time, in makeup, got everything done correctly. Of course, Sharon was there telling Ozzy what to do, which I just loved. I loved it so much. And when I saw, I didn't see the filming of the beginning of it, because they were there. I mean, when we were sitting in the front row, we were playing, they were there for those three or four girls. But I didn't see the beginning. And the first time I saw the video, I went, oh, that's hot. That's good. That's awesome.
it's one of those, you know, ones I've watched a million times just for the simple fact that it's like, I don't know. It's so damn funny to start with, right? And then that song's great. So you just, I mean, it's just one of those ones that, you know, you can put on repeat and just keep going with. It's a great tune. You guys, you've been on tour with so many great bands over the years. So I'm curious, like, you're on a tour with a band. I mean, you toured with Motley Crue, who's Motley Crue.
And maybe, a big band, you know.
Yeah, maybe a big band and maybe a little bit, you know, of activities that they take part in. And then you toured with Aerosmith, who at the time was trying to be sober and this and that. Like, what kind of different personalities of a tour with a band like Aerosmith is there from a band like Motley Crue?
Oh, God. You know what my answer is going to be. The reason we got the Van Halen thing was because we've known them forever, and they liked us, and we opened up to them. They opened up for us back in the 70s, and our drummer, a jogging partner with David, so that's how we got that one. We got the Theater of Pain because I've known Nicky since he was Frankie, and so we've been friends for 100 years. And in terms of radio, is coming up the charts, and their new album was coming up the charts. That was up. Right now, that is my number one tour I've ever been on because I can't remember probably 10% of it. We had so much fun, man. Let's just put it that way. I was very surprised. It was fun. We played with Heart, too, which was like, talk about different. And then Aerosmith, they were trying to come in and steal our booze because they had security guys trying to make them not drink. Because that was the Mirrors album. They weren't very good. So it's all different. It's all different.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you'd never think that. But, I mean, that's the fantastic thing about this is that there's so many awesome stories. And the great thing, too, is that everybody would have a different recollection of the stories, especially from, you know, the various reasons.
Well, you could remember.
Well, yeah. Well, I remember some of my complaints were, it's only a half a bottle of Jack. I don't say my cocaine's too white. that was my complaint. I just have to get the essentials down at all times, and I'm still alive. That, very frightened.
You put that in the rider. What color?
I should have. I needed to be just quite so crystally, looking like meth. I didn't want that. I have to play, man. I have to sing. The arrogance of the '20s. The 20-year-olds. I love it.
So it's not the same now. You're saying.
No, not even. I got grandkids, and it's a whole different world now, which I prefer this because I remember every day now.
So there's no like yearning to go back to the good old days.
Because back then you had people, you know, that watched you. No one's watching me now. So why would I do that?
Actually, it's one of those things where I've seen, you know, musicians, like, they talk about the day back then and they talk about it, saying all the right things about how it's better now. They don't want to go back to it, but you can hear it in their voice that they miss it. But with you, I can hear that you're good with where you are.
No, I'm not religious, but I thank God that I didn't die.
Yeah.
I should have. And I was like, I OD'd a couple times. I OD'd once with Nicky. And we're still walking around. It's like, I mean, I'm not a teetotaler by any means. So I'd still like to have a drink now and then, but it's a whole different world.
Truly is right now, especially. But and I mean, everybody's drinking more right now, I think.
I went to liquor store today because I ran out of my vodka. Finally, and I went in there. There was like almost 100 people in the place, and I went, "Oh man!" And they're ordering cases and stuff. Yikes!
apparently, summer is coming, and I think something about the 4th of July perhaps might be coming up too.
Might have something to do with it. Just might. it's going to be DUI world right now in Georgia here. In Georgia, where I live, they'll take you down for nothing, man. So it's like, if you really going to go out, get a Uber. Don't be driving nowhere.
Yeah, you're in Georgia. That's one of the places that seems like everything is centered around right now.
It's open. We don't wear masks. Everything's open. The social distancing is about 4 feet apart, 2 feet apart.
Wow.
And the COVID's not going to the roof here either. So, but of course, then again, none of us are getting tested because we know better. Because that's just going to add to the numbers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Safest way to make sure the numbers don't rise, don't get tested.
Absolutely. And if you get a little bit of a cough or a cold, just send an extra flu and just move on. Don't ask any doctors for help. Because they get money for that. They get money if you find another COVID-19. So, I'm not playing.
You're not playing that game.
No, I'm not playing.
Yeah, it's actually true. You know, I was someplace for 6 hours the other day that no mask on, nobody in there was in. I mean, we're all social distancing, but it was, it was fine. Just hanging out in a coffee shop, talking to somebody. Yes. It felt good to actually see people, and I don't even like people.
No, I know. But now I'll talk to you. I'll talk to my dog. He doesn't listen anyway, so what the hell?
It's only when he starts truly answering back in English that's when you know you have to worry.
Then we call someone. Call someone to get us.
It's like, I may have been home too long now.
I've been home way too long right now. I got to take my first airplane flight, and it's mandatory, you know, to wear the mask. And I went, oh my God, people do this every day? But if it even falls below your nose, the stewardesses or whatever they're called now, come up and say, got to get it over your nose. And I'm like, such a joke. We won't go into that.
Back in the day, do you have any good store or tour bus stories? Like, I'm always fascinated by tour bus stories.
It's that most of the time, by the time I got in the tour bus, I did 100 lines and went to bed. Because I knew I knew it was going to be 400 miles drive, and I can't look out the windows anymore. I'm done. No, the tour buses. Of course, a lot of people have fun in tour buses, but I don't remember much of it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean, all the great videos, of course, of musicians looking out the tour bus windows and seeing the land go by. That must get a little tiring after 2, 3, 4,000 miles.
Or if you're out doing 100 shows, yeah. And all of a sudden you just go, the minute you smell the generator and hear the generator, you just go in there and go, oh, give me alcohol. I got to go to sleep. This is ridiculous. It's like, oh, look, Montana again. Well, it looks different. No, it's New York again. It looks a lot different. No, it doesn't. Look, we're back in California. Oh, I was living there. I was really comfortable here. Yeah, I don't mean to be weird about it because a lot of people go, it's so romantic to go across America like that. And go, yeah, probably if you did it for like 2 months. But when you're doing it like 7 years, it gets a little old.
Yeah, there's only so many times that you can see that tumbleweed go by on the dirt road.
Hey, look, it's a paper truck stop. Let's stop there and buy animals. And it's like, after a while, you're doing really dumb things, like you're buying games that you never play or buying puzzles that you never put together. And at the end of the day, you have a whole bunch of boxes by your bunk. You go, yeah, this is even there.
Leave that for the next guy.
Leave that for the next guy. That way he won't have to stop his truck stop and buy it.
I can't imagine like what like a band must accumulate over a long tour and then like somebody would have to bring it all out. It's
like... Exactly. We're lucky. Most of our clothes were in wardrobes. So you just had your everyday clothes, which was a black t-shirt, black pants, black vest, a black bag, and you could probably wear it for like a week or two before anyone really smelled you. So we didn't have a lot of luggage that way. But a whole new suitcase of stuff you brought back, and you brought it all back with all the places you've been, t-shirts and this and that, 100 t-shirts, and which I still never worn any of them. So, so probably sell them all.
Yeah, but half of what you had must have been Hairspray, because you mean you did have the big hair when you guys were one of those bands that definitely when you first burst on the scene, man, and you in particular had some of the biggest.
Which, yeah, it was like, of course, it's Ray. I mean, it was a purple can, of course. And you had to have it. I actually had it on the rider. I ran out, and he always had it. So I always had like tin cans and stuff back in the bus.
Gotta take care of yourself, right?
It's like, if the girls like it, I'll take 5 cans. Let's get that hair up high. Let's get it up high. Let's go.
See, it's good to know that you had the priorities
right. My priorities are straight: white cocaine, not a half a bottle, and I had to have the Ray X. No brown M&Ms. What a stupid way to waste your writer.
Awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Well, Randy, it's been so much fun talking to you. We've certainly appreciated it, and we'd love to get you to tell everybody where they can find Autograph, and of course, tell everybody about the song so that they can help support.
And so they understand how important it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No problem. So if you want to find out anything about us, our web is autographband.com. You can find out everything about us there, tour schedules, if you want to buy some merchandise, whatever. And Souls on Fire is for everyone. You listen to the lyrics, you take whatever you want from it. This time, the United States is raging right now. I want everyone to get settled in their own minds. And that's kind of what the song is all about. So there you go, guys.
Awesome. Well, like I say, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're big fans of Autograph. We look forward to many more years of Autograph music, and hopefully we'll get the chance to actually see you guys live, because I know we'd love to do that. So thank you so much again, and all the best in the future.
You bet, guys. Thank you very much, Brent. Thank you, Mo. You guys are real nice. This is a fun one. I didn't have to be serious. I like it.
Nope, that's for sure. Yep.
We're always just looking to have a good time, man. Right? That's what we're here to entertain.
Absolutely. I mean, life's too quick to not have a good time. That's what that's I know for real.
You know it. Yep. All right.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Bye now.